We're moving on to chapter 68 in Tehillim. Before we begin the chapter, we have to remember that David HaMelech was speaking long term. He was talking to the Jewish people for future generations as well. Now, the terminology in Tehillim sometimes sounds like it's only fitting for King David's time. He's talking about Edom, Ishmael, Gat, Plishtim. So we have a tradition that David was talking about forces within the nations. He wasn't necessarily talking about this nation or that nation, but about this tendency within the nation or that tendency within the nation, where Yishmael reappears in the form of other nations. Plishtim, a nation that always tries to break into Israeli territory, appears in a new encasing. Edom has its appearance. And by the same token, when we speak about the tribes of Israel, very often we're talking about the different colors within the greater persona of the Jewish people. So each tribe represents certain strengths or weaknesses within the Jewish people. Now, you'll ask me to define specifically which tribe represents what. I don't know offhand. As we look into it, we will see the commentaries will very often say here we're stressing this quality or this trait or that one. Yes? That's one aspect. That's one aspect, yes. That's
more known.
Yeah. But sometimes it represents zealotry too. Pinchas. Yeah.
Do we at least know what
Do we know what?
Judah.
In different contexts, it will stress different aspects. It's not a constant. There are many aspects that Yehuda can represent. Yehuda can be leadership, but Yehuda can be other traits as well. Pasuk Aleph. Let's begin. Lam natzach le David mizmor shir. So David HaMelech compiled the following song of praise. Yakum Elohim. Yafutzu oyevav. We ask God to arise and take revenge, and his enemies should scatter. Rashi right away tells us we're talking about Amalek. When you see that in Rashi, that should turn on a red light. We have to go back to the uncensored versions of Rashi and see if that's what Rashi really wrote. Or maybe Rashi was writing something else. Very often in Tanakh, oyevav, the enemies of Hashem, is a reference to specific people where the censors of those people wouldn't let us write their names. So instead, what shows up is Amalek. So if we'd have an uncensored version, maybe during the break we'll run upstairs and we'll see if the Machon has a copy of that. We'll see if this is what Rashi really wrote. So Yakum Elokim, we ask God to arise. We see this in Torah as well. Kuma Elokim, V'yafutzu Oyevecha, Moshe Rabbeinu used to say. So we see there is this concept where we can ask God to arise, whatever that means. We're using a humanistic description for God. Yakum Elokim, God should arise. Yafutzu Oyvav, his enemies should scatter. This is a recurring theme in Tehillim, in Psalms, that the enemies of Am Yisrael are God's enemies. That's what I told the soldiers just before they went out to war. I told them, remember, you're fighting and the one on your flag, the flag that we wave is Hashem's name. Like Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people, we're fighting your enemies, Hashem. We're fighting for your principles.
May I add something really, really miraculous? There was a Hamas terrorist, yeah? And as he was launching rockets towards us, there was a ruach, a wind, and it literally blew the rockets away. And how this Hamas terrorist literally said it, wow, the God of Israel is blowing the rockets away.
Back to our pasuk, Yakum Elokim Yafutzu Oyevav, God should arouse and his enemies should scatter. V'yanusu Misanav, Mipanav, and those that hate him should flee from before him. If we were learning the Malbim, we would learn in depth the difference between Oyev and Sone, Yafutz and Yanus. We're learning Pshat, so in Pshat, they are two terms for enemies scattering and running. But the truth is that they do have different meanings, Oyev and Sone, two types of enemies. one who actually inflicts harm, one who hates, but he could be far away. He's not doing anything. You guys remember when the president of Venezuela was busy talking anti-Semitic slurs? He wasn't doing anything to us as far as we know, but he was hating us from afar. So there's an Oyev, there's a Soneh, there's the one who's hands-on shooting rockets, and there's the guy from far away who keeps declaring he hates.
Yeah, he was struck with testicular cancer.
Kindof Ashan Tindof. Just as smoke is scattered by the wind, so too the enemies are scattered, and Hashem uses the most simple reasons to scatter them or cause them to dissipate. Kihimes Donag Mipenei Esh, as Donag, which is a type of wax, melts before fire. Very often Donag is translated as beeswax. Yovedu Rishayim Mipenei Elohim, so to the wicked would melt before Hashem. Vitzadikim Yismechu Yaltzu Lifnei Elohim V'yasisu B'simcha, and the righteous Yismechu, they will be happy, Ya'altzu, they will rejoice, Lifnei Elohim, before Hashem, V'yasisu V'simcha. This is one of the things we have to remember, that when good things happen to us, we have to be happy. Very often good things happen to us and we take it in stride. How many missiles fall and nothing happens and we just keep going? Two nights ago, I was just coming in to start a class in Kochav Yaakov, Tuesday night. The siren goes off. I can't go down to my family. I'm in shul. And I'm trying to remind myself to daven again. Wait a second, this is crazy. There's a real siren here. Where in the world do sirens go off and we just take it in stride? And where's the song, the Mizmor Lesoda? Every time we hear a siren and we walk away safe, we should stop and say, Mizmor Letoda, Hariu Lashem Kol Haaretz. All of earth should give song to Hashem. We're seeing beautiful things and we let them pass. David says, I won't let that happen. He says, Hashem, you will scatter the wicked and the righteous will rejoice as you scatter the wicked. Shiru Leilohim Zameru Shimo. Give song to Hashem, says David HaMelech. Zameru Shimo, sing in honor of his name. And David HaMelech is imploring of us to sing now, even before our troubles are over. David is saying, have faith, it's going to work itself out. Solo larochev ba'aravot beya shemo ve'ilzu lefanav. You'll notice the form of this pasuk and the previous one are a little bit unusual in that you don't have an atnach, you don't have an atnachta in these two pasukim. I don't know what that comes to teach us. I don't know. David HaMelech says, solo exalt larochev ba'aravot, to Hashem who rides the high heavens. Aravot is the seventh heaven. So we say each heaven has a name, it says in Talmud. We derive it from the verses. So God is described as riding on the seventh heaven, on Aravot. Beka Shemo, have faith that salvation will come. Even though Hashem's name is Yud Hey right now, and we say Hashem's name isn't complete, Hashem doesn't reveal himself completely. We see a world where you can deny Hashem's existence. Nonetheless, things will ultimately work themselves out. Hashem will work them out. And that's why he says, sing in honor of Hashem's name, ve'ilzu lifanav, and rejoice before him. Yes?
I thought there were four heavens. Ramchal talks about this one, the celestial, the ones for the angels, and the one for God. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Nope. Gotta look inside. I don't know. What I said, I think, is a Gemara in Tractate Chagiga, I think.
There's a sermon
Okay. Hashem is called the father of the orphans, the judge who stands up for the widows. Elohim bim'on kodsho. Even though Hashem is described as sitting in his holy place, wherever that is, nonetheless, he is described as paying attention to the poor, to the destitute, to those who are persecuted, standing up for them. So, Elohim moshiv yechidim baita. Hashem takes individuals and settles them in a house. So, one understanding here is we're talking about the Jewish people. As we'll see the continuation of the Pasuk, Motzi Asirim Bakosharot, Hashem took Israel out of their bondage on the finest month, the month of Nisan, where it's pleasant to walk and to travel. There's a nice breeze, it's the spring. Our sages say, Moshiv Yechidim Baita is a description of marriage. That Hashem takes two individuals, each one knows what they want out of life. And it's unnatural for the two of them to form a home together because there's going to be conflict. He wants this way, she wants that way. He wants to go to sleep early, she wants to go to sleep late. He wants to get up early, she wants to get up late. He wants to eat dinner at this time, she wants it that time. He wants it hot, she wants it cold. Jack Spratt could eat no fat, his wife could eat no lean. There are going to be simple conflicts. There are going to be complex conflicts. We are each yechidi. We are individuals. And we like it that way. Ah, no, we don't. But yeah, we do. Ah, part of us enjoys the freedom. And part of us is yearning for connection. Then we get married. And we don't find that connection. And then we yearn for our freedom again. Ah, we're still yearning for connection. We're yearning for both. Hashem creates a world where Moshiv Yechidim, he could settle down to individuals, bite and create a home. It takes godly intervention. Not so simple. But this is a description of how a home is built. Take two individuals and Moshiv, they have to settle. If I have somewhere else to run, if I have an alternative, so then I can't build a home. If I can always go back to my parents' house, I can't build a home. I'll tell you a story the way it happened, but the truth is, the same story could have taken place with characters reversed. There was a couple that got married, and husband is doing his thing, working, and the wife says, you know, the baby's crying, and I need to sweep the floor, so could you hold the baby? And the husband says, if I hold the baby, then I'm sweeping the floor, because then I'm not working. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. No, that's not our agreement. What we agreed is that you deal with the baby, and you deal with the floor, and I deal with the other stuff. And no. She got upset. She got up and went to her father's house. She left him. And she comes to her father. I'm telling you guys a true story. I'm not allowed to say the characters involved to maintain their privacy, but this is I know the people. And her father asks her what's going on. So she tells him the story. So her father says, look, I'm going to change the facts because it really doesn't matter what the scenario was. But let's say her husband was working on finding the cure for cancer. So her father tells her, look, you wanted a guy who's going to work his head off trying to find the cure for cancer, right? So you got someone like that. And he's doing that. And you knew that's what he would do. So now he doesn't have time to hold the baby. That's what you guys agreed. So you go back there, and anytime you need someone to hold the baby, then come knock on my door, I'll come hold the baby. But don't bother him, that's not fair. Now, you could imagine what would happen if her father would say, oh, poor baby, whenever he's not nice to you, you just come here, we'll save your bed for you. That marriage would have exploded. It wouldn't have worked. The fact that her father said to her, you can't do that. Now, I'm saying you could reverse the characters. You could understand the story could have played itself out the exact opposite. And he charged out to his parents and they told him that it doesn't work this way. You know, you got to make it work with your spouse. So that's one of the keys, that it has to be Moshiv Yechidim. Settle the individuals, then you have baita, then you can build a home. If I'm not settled, if I have an out, if I have other places to go, so then there's no way it's going to work, it's too tough. Elokim Moshiv Yechidim baita, God settles two individuals, in a home. He makes them into a pair, into a home. just as he took the Jewish people out in the nicest month. And this is where we learn this concept that Kashin Lezavgan Kekriyat Yamsuf. This pasuk is the source, because the pasuk equates the idea of God taking us out of Egypt in a pleasant month and the idea of taking two individuals and putting them in a home together. From here we learn that taking two individuals and making a home is more difficult than splitting the sea and taking the Jews out of Egypt. Splitting the sea was unnatural. God did it to get us out of Egypt. And taking two individuals and putting them in a house is unnatural. And you need a tremendous amount of heavenly intervention to make it work. So this pasuk is the source for that idea. Yes, Yaakov. No. Okay. Rav Simcha Kohen over here, he says that the pasuk is telling us something else. Motzia sirim bakosherot, maybe one of the commentaries say this pshat, he says, it's still referring to marriage. He says, we're described as people taken out of bondage. Anyone going into marriage is taken out of bondage. Which bondage? The bondage of loneliness. He says, God created a world where there are these shackles which will keep us in a marriage. Because we're dead scared of the other shackles, which is the loneliness of being alone. The reason we're willing to make it work is because we're scared of the alternative. But when we're there, we feel like we're in shackles. We just think the other shackles are worse. So that's how he learns this pasuk. Yes?
Maybe I see wrong, but I think that it's not only black. I understand that it's almost black what you see. I saw happy families. With all that problems that you describe only from, they are still happy and they work and they something like that. Not all, but there are a lot of, and in Israel or in a religious family, nobody look outside the window or something like that. So still you have a home. So.
Thank you, Yechiel. You're 100% right. The best thing in the world is marriage. The sweetest thing in the world is marriage. There's nothing that can compare to the satisfaction. And there's nothing that's as rewarding or as good, really good and sweet, as marriage and partnership. It takes years to get there, and even when one is there, there are moments which are black. Someone once said that marriage isn't as good as a bachelor thinks it's going to be, and it isn't as bad as someone who's married will describe it. Somewhere in between. The truth is that marriage is much better than a bachelor imagines it's going to be. Marriage can give a person much more than a person imagines initially he'll get out of marriage. And I definitely agree with you. The issue is that marriage is still very hard. The fact that it's hard doesn't mean it's bad. It's very good, but it is very hard. And so when we read this about the hardships, so that's where we're reminded that yes, Hashem says it is hard, that it's for sure good. It's not black, it's beautiful. There's nothing better. You see,
family, young family, old family, they are a special type of family, but they are happy.
I didn't say people aren't happy. If people are willing to work on it, then they'll be very happy. No marriage goes on autopilot. Any marriage you're seeing that looks good, if it's really good, then they're working hard on it. It doesn't work on autopilot. But that's what the pasuk is coming to tell us. It's not telling us marriage is bitter or bad. It's just telling us marriage is difficult. But it's definitely sweet. The issue is that very often it's so hard that people pull out. So that's where we're reminded that the alternative is much worse. And that's one of the things that holds people in, even though they're not working on making it beautiful. Meaning when people are trudging through their marriage and their life, so why are they staying married? Because the alternative is worse. Now, if they'd be really working on it, then their marriage would be beautiful. You're right. It is the best thing in the world and has the greatest potential. And one of the secrets is to know that the world is not divided into the haves and have-nots in marriage. Anyone can be a have. Anyone can have a good marriage if you're willing to work on it. The fact that you only see some couples very happy, that's sad. It's unfortunate. But part of the reason is because it's very hard to make marriage work to the point where you'll be happy in it. It's hard. It's not easy. Back to our pasuk. Ach sorerim shachenu tzechicha. David HaMelech says, Ach sorerim shachenu tzechicha. Sorerim, are those that veer off the path, veer off God's path. Those that are rebellious, they refuse to go in God's ways. Shachinu tzechicha. They remain in a dry, arid land. Either that's a reference to the Egyptians, that their land remained completely desolate when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. Or it's a reference in general, that people who choose to rebel against Hashem's ways, they won't see the blessings of Hashem's ways. Pasuk Chet. Elohim v'tzeitecha lifnei amecha. Hashem, when you went before your people, God led us with the cloud. V'tzadecha v'shimon sela. As you marched before us in the desolate desert, you went there, Selah, you flattened it out for us, because it wasn't flat. The terrain was not steady. Eretz Rasha, the land trembled when Hashem advanced before us. The nations heard such a thing. It was extraordinary. Everyone was scared. Af Shamayim Natifo Mipenei Elohim. The heavens were dripping before Hashem. Ze Sinai Mipenei Elohim Elohei Yisrael. Even Sinai was trembling because Hashem was going to appear on Sinai. So we're going to pause here. What we've seen thus far in this chapter is, number one, David HaMelech asks Hashem to arise, the enemies should be scattered. The tzaddikim will rejoice, for Hashem is the father of orphans. He fights on behalf of the widows. Hashem is the one who showed us that He cares for the world in His revelation to take us out of Sinai. By the same token, He is repeatedly showing us His care by giving us this wonderful institution of marriage. And David went on to describe how Hashem led us out of Egypt. The whole world was trembling. The whole world was in awe. Even Mount Sinai trembled when it realized God was going to settle on it to give the Torah to the Jewish people. And we'll...